politics in this country is a many-splendored thing, and one of its splendors is public relations, the image. This week, the John Birch Society was in the film business and gave a preview of a new screen epic in New York. Steve Rowan went as film critic for The World This Week.
Were it not for the first 20 minutes and the last 15, the John Birch Society's second attempt to present itself on film would be very much like an industrial film showing what goes on behind the scenes in the manufacturing of tractors. The soft-cell center of the 90-minute presentation is filled with such things as a carefully staged monthly chapter meeting, starting and ending punctually, of course. The members are pleasant, obviously a cross-section of the best elements in any community. This completely positive presentation tries to prove, just as the tractor company does when it makes such a film, that it has a better product than anyone else because of its responsible management and devoted employees, or in this case, members. But it ends up being proof of something else, the organizing abilities of Robert Welch, who founded the society in December of 1958. Before the soft sell portion for the first 20 minutes, there's something else. A cleverly done documentary on the life of John Birch and his untimely death at the hands of the Chinese communists. The first American casualty, as the narrator explains ominously, of World War III. And then comes the explanation of the society's founding by the narrator, a pleasant-looking society employee named G. Edward Griffin.
In the beginning, the society was just an idea in the mind of one man. But soon, this man attracted to him some of the most prominent leaders in the American conservative movement. Today, these men comprise the council or the governing body of the John Birch Society. These men truly are a credit not only to the John Birch Society, but to their country as well.
Until Robert Welch comes on the screen, about an hour and 15 minutes into the film, there's no hard sell and no attempt to answer criticism. Welch admits the society is monolithic, but if it were democratic, he explains, the communists would infiltrate. And besides, anyone who doesn't like it can quit. On the subject of the part played by the communications media, Welch has this to say.
The smooth certainty with which communist influences now bring the leading periodicals, for instance, to follow every step in the communist line is readily indicated by one experience involving ourselves. The New York Times, Life, Look, Time, and every major publication which gave fulsome support to Castro, even after the proof that he was a communist had become unmistakable, has also played a leading role in condemning the John Birch Society since it became clear that the society was a threat to the communists. And in general, the same thing is equally true of radio and television.
Welch ends his pitch by saying, in almost so many words, either you're with the John Birch Society or you're with the communists. And if everyone accepted the society's goals, he adds, the communist conspiracy would be dead in 3 months. This film, called simply Presentation Film Number 2, is to be shown in tandem with Presentation Film Number 1, a gathering of some of the speeches made by Welch. The society says it does not allow anyone to charge for showing the films. Sitting through 180 minutes of John Birch Society dogma should be payment enough.